yesterday afternoon. Currently estimated this morning at over 8,000 acres and was 0% contained. So the village of Cimarron under mandatory evacuation orders. Also, it was Ute Park and the Hummingbird community also evacuated. Those evacuating again were asked to use Highway 64, not Highway 58 and Highway 21. Also, be advised that Highway 64 in the Cimarron Canyon is closed between Eagle Nest Lake and Cimarron. Also, State Route 204 is closed. A reminder also, because of the evacuation order, traffic isn't being allowed to go into Cimarron either. So Highway 64 is closed to incoming traffic there. They're turning them around at the Colfax Tavern. Now you look outside and you can see a huge, tremendous plume of smoke. It is just an enormous amount of fuel that is available for this very serious fire. Type 1 incident management team expected to arrive later today if they have not already taken over operations. So there are numerous resources from state forestry and local and federal partners working to suppress this fire on the ground and also in the air. We've got very large air tankers, heavy air tankers, and helicopters. And unfortunately, red flag conditions are predicted for the fire area today. We've already seen a lot of activity, a lot of smoke headed our way. One of the main reasons that Cimarron was evacuated was because of the heavy smoke, just oppressive smoke. The air quality is horrible, as quoted by several who are coming out. Also, in addition to our first responders, we have a lot of people in our area willing to do things. And that's what makes our area one of the best in the world. Very, very, very generous. However, what is happening is that calls are inundating the sheriff's office and the officials, and they are not quite ready for the influx of help and offers of help. So I got a chance to talk to Larry Osborne, Colfax County Fire Marshal, and Mary Lou Kern, Colfax County Manager. And so your donations are very, very much appreciated, very much. But they are hampering efforts. So just put on hold, and they'll tell us when the mechanism has been put in place to be able to help. Now, they've set up some evacuation shelters. One of them is at the convention center here in Raton. And also another one is at the Eagle Nest Senior Center, Raton Convention Center and Eagle Nest Senior Center. Animal evacuations are being accepted at the Colfax County Fairgrounds in Springer, Raton Animal Shelter here in Raton, also the Raton Rodeo Grounds, Highway 555. There are several others who are also offering up use of their facilities, as the NRA Whittington Center also has some room for large animals. Now, the buildings also for the Whittington Center, they've got a big shoot going on this weekend, but after Sunday they'll have more buildings available for evacuees. This looks like this might be a long-term situation here. So after Sunday's competition, the Whittington Center is asking for help to help flip the rooms and turn them around for evacuees. Call Becky at the Whittington Center, 445-3615. Also, Liz DeCristino, Cimarron Schools Transportation, they have a couple of school buses that they can use to help transport out of Cimarron if someone does not have transportation to evacuate. And we've got the phone number here, Cimarron Schools Transportation, Liz DeCristino. Also, Mildred Spalding in Cimarron, in Springer, Mildred Spalding in Springer, Old Santa Fe Trail Trailer Park on Highway 468, on the road to the prison. She said they have 10 spots with hookups for evacuees free of charge, and also some dry camping available there in Springer. Also in Springer, again, the Colfax County Fairgrounds for large animals. Also here in Raton, Willow Springs Campground has several spots with full hookups and some tent sites and dry camping sites available. Cruz Field Airport, also, Dusty has said they have some camping spots available there for trailers or tents. No hookups or water, but you can call Dusty. We have his phone number here. And again, it goes on and on and on. People are so, so generous. Let's see what else we have here. MCMC has given us word that Miners Colfax Medical Center is on alert status. So they're planning and preparing for a patient surge should the need arise. Currently, it's business as usual, and routine medical services are available there at MCMC. Again, any donations for the firefighting personnel are being put on hold right now, because they are getting inundated while they're trying to get to the business of helping to fight this tremendous fire. So as soon as, again, a process is put in place, they'll let us know, and then we'll let you know just how you can help. And believe me, there will be a time that we are asked to help. Type 1 Incident Management Team, again, expected to take over today. And it began yesterday at about 2:10 p.m. and grew overnight to some 8,000-plus acres. The wind started up early today there in the Cimarron area, so the air quality is extremely poor. We've seen some poor quality here in the Raton area, and also we saw some ash on the lawns and on the cars today. And so that's one of the concerns, is the wind carrying the ash and the sparks. And so we'll continue to watch and monitor, and we'll continue to pray and wish the best for those who have evacuated, and also for those first responders, those who are actually fighting this fire, the Ute Park fire. 8,000 acres plus, and just looks like unlimited fuel supply. So hopefully they can get a handle on this very quickly. Did you find anything else in your searching?
Oh, well, you know, I just came up with some information for the incident management teams, the different types of teams. Type 5 is local, village, and township level. Type 4 is city, county, or fire district level. Type 3 is state or metropolitan area level. And then Type 2, that's where you get into the national and state level. Type 2 is, they're highly certified, however, not as certified as the Type 1, which is national and state level. A federally or state certified team, it's the most robust incident management team. And with that, they have the most training and experience. And 16 Type 1 incident management teams are now in existence and operate through interagency cooperation of federal, state, and local land and emergency management agencies. So that's that's who's coming into the area, too. So.
Okay. All right. Type 1 management team. Top guns, so to speak. Again, highways that are closed in the Cimarron Canyon, Highway 64 between Cimarron and Eagle Nest Lake. State Route 204 is closed there at Cimarron. Also, Highway 58 and Highway 21 are closed at this particular point. Philmont is on alert. They have not evacuated Also, those going into Cimarron or wanting to go into Cimarron, you're reminded that it is being evacuated, so please stay clear. Only if you have family, etc., and an important emergency reason for going in, would you be allowed in? And chances are you won't even be allowed in unless it is a very good reason. So, again, Ute Park Fire, currently 8,000 acres plus. That 8,000 acres was estimated again to this morning. 0% contained. And again, the weather outlook is not favoring fire suppression. We should get brought to the mid to upper 80s today. And again, winds probably in the 25 to 35 mile per hour range. Our news time is 12:16 a.m. And we are looking at International Bank as our local sponsor. We'll be back with more on the Ute Park Fire.
International Bank recognizes the importance of investing in northeastern New Mexico and southeastern California.
Lender. All right, you know, this is Enchanted Air's birthday, June 1st. We went on the air as Enchanted Air in 2005. This is not the kind of birthday present we wanted. We've got some candles burning out there, but those are not the candles we like. Marty Mayfield joins us here in the studios this morning, or this afternoon. It's been a long day already, hasn't it, Marty?
It is after 12.
Yeah, right. And you've been out since early this morning.
And the candles down there are very big. Yeah. Some of them are very big candles. What I'm going to do is start Ute Park. According to Tom V. Hill, the emergency coordinator for Colfax County, it started in someone's backyard. The house or the place where it started was unoccupied, so they don't know if it was a lightning strike that hit something in the yard, tree perhaps, or something like that, or some other reason. The fire moved to the northeast, caught the easternmost side of Cimarroncito, burned some old outbuildings that had been condemned and were going to be torn down, about 12 buildings in that area. So they lost 12 buildings. But as Mary Lou Kern says, maybe we did a favor and burned those buildings down, if you can take a bright spot out of anything with this. It continued to work its way to the northeast, jumped the highway, Highway 64, worked its way onto the Philmont Scout Ranch. It is also burning on the south side of Highway 64. It has worked its way to within a few miles of the Philmont Scout Ranch. Philmont, fortunately, has a lot of large buffalo pasture, livestock pasture that has been kept fairly low. So they've got a big buffer that they can have a very good defensible space that they can keep it out of the main Philmont headquarters and stuff. As the fire worked its way last night to the north side of Highway 64, it crossed 204, which is the road that goes from Cimarron up to Poneal. It jumped that road. And has continued to burn on to the northeast. 12,000 acres was what Tom had a little bit ago.
Okay.
It's continuing to grow. It's moving to the northeast. Evacuations for Cimarron. They, at about 8:30 this morning, before the fire hit the 3-mile trigger limit, decided to go ahead and Let's do a mandatory evacuation. The fire, for some reason, weather-wise, most likely because of the dry conditions and a little bit of wind, kicked up real heavy shortly after 6 o'clock this morning, and the plumes were once again going many thousands of feet into the blue New Mexico sky.
Horrible. So mainly air quality at that particular point.
At that particular time.
Yeah.
8:30, they had a meeting at Cimarron City Hall, went over the situation, went over what the plan was as far as the firefighters and ground crews. They have worked on dozer lines that run from Cimarron to the south along the hills, trying to protect some of the watershed area and water sources for the village of Cimarron. They took and are trying to work a dozer line around the north side of Cimarron, up next to where the old Poneal fire had burned to. Of course, that's been several years ago, almost 16 from
years,
what we kind of figured this morning. So they're hoping that the wind will become a little more favorable. We have a chance of precip tomorrow late. They're hoping that that will bring some relief. But if it doesn't, it's going to be a long, long
fire.
Tom kind of thought maybe between it could, he says that he wouldn't be surprised to see it go 35,000 to 50,000 acres before it's all said and done.
The potential is there.
And it's going to continue moving to the northeast and along, which will be parallel to Highway 64 pretty much. That's all rugged country. It's not going to be easy to fight. It's ponderosa, pine, cedar trees, and things like that that are really dry, and they're going to burn good. In Maxwell at 11:30 this morning, the Colfax County Commission met, signed a declaration of emergency or emergency declaration. That way they can go to the state and the feds for some financial assistance. As all of this was being prepared, they have asked for declaration from the state to bring in the National Guard. They've already gone and asked for that, so they will be mobilizing the National Guard because we're going to run short of law enforcement. They've already brought officers in from Taos, Santa Fe, to help with the roadblocks and such, being that they are going to evacuate the community of Cimarron. They are going to bring the National Guard in to do a lot of security along with law enforcement that we have in the county to prevent looting and stuff like this, and keep everything safe. They feel comfortable. They can defend Cimarron. They're a little worried about the Lambert Hills area because it has a lot of larger growth in the way of dry pine and cedar trees as well that, you know, a flying ember could easily spark up. And air quality, we're going to see it here in Raton. There's no doubt about it. It's already smoky, but it's going to, if the fire continues to the northeast, the winds stay out of the southwest, it's going to be a bigger issue for us as time goes along.
Yeah.
Eagle Nest Senior Center, places like that in Eagle Nest and Angel Fire have been set up for evacuation centers. Raton Convention Center here, there's approximately 11,000 or 1,100 staff at Philmont, approximately 1,100 residents at Cimarron. Tom was figuring that of those, probably about 500-600 have relatives in the area that they can go visit, go stay with for a while. Maybe as many as 400 people that will be here at the Raton Convention Center is what they're estimating at this point in time. If Philmont has to evacuate, there's about 1,100 staff at Philmont. They will evacuate down Highway 21 to Springer. Of course, that takes them right into the area of the National Guard Armory at Springer and the fairgrounds as well. Mary Lou Kearns, our county manager, noted that there's not a lot of livestock in the direct path. The Chase Ranch has some horses that need to be moved. The fairgrounds here in Raton will be available for livestock if they need be. The fairgrounds in Springer will also be open for livestock if need be.
Yeah, the Raton Rodeo Grounds. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right, talking with Marty Mayfield here about the Ute Park fire, 12,000 acres estimated.
Oh, and that was at, you know, that was at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that was a best guess estimate.
Sure.
At this point, the way the fire is burning with the rapid spread of it, it's going to multiply quickly.
Right. Red flank conditions already being felt. Now, they're using Eagle Nest Lake as a spot to refresh and recharge the tankers and the helicopters.
The helicopters, tankers, yeah. The big tankers.
They have to fly somewhere else.
Yeah, they're flying back to Albuquerque.
Okay. All right. So from Eagle Nest Lake and talked to Larry Osborne earlier, the topography, the geography of the area, Eagle Nest Lake at this particular point is above everything else and away from the fire.
Right.
But everything down below, again, very, very much open to damage and
right.
and getting flooding, etc.
There's definitely going to be a concern as we move further into the summer. The watershed, it's going to affect both Raton and Cimarron because mm-hmm. of Cimarron River feeding both Cimarron and Raton. The one thing that, you know, like I said, the one big thing they're really worried about is what kind of runoff they're going to get into the Cimarron River, as well as some of the ponds. I did not realize just how much water Cimarron, the village of Cimarron, pulls from some of the ponds further back to the southwest of Cimarron.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of their water comes from in their watershed, so they're concerned about that as well.
Mary Lou was telling us there is a plan already for the Seca Lake and to protect Seca Lake, which is one of those bodies of water that they draw from. Very important. Also, Marty, Larry Osborne came in and said that, again, we have such an amazing, generous place and people, and everybody's wanting to do something. And what can I do? What can I do? At this particular point in the fire, if you're calling up and asking the emergency personnel or the sheriff's office or the dispatcher what you can do, you're actually clogging up the pipeline.
Right.
And it's very much appreciated. Don't get us wrong that help is not needed, but now is not the time.
As far as help goes, firefighting, you've got to be, they won't even let you near the fire yeah. without the certification. Yeah. The help that we need right now is going to be in the form of perishables such as food and water. We've got a lot of extra people in Raton that we're going to have to feed. They're going to have water, place to stay. You know, if somebody wants to do something along those lines, the best place for them to go right now is the Raton Convention Center
right.
to get with the folks down there. The Red Cross has been set up, activated, so they're doing what they can do as best that they can do. And if you want to help there,
with that too.
If you want to help there, that's the best thing to do would be to go to the convention center, or for the folks in Springer to go down to the National Guard Armory to help out there. Yes, the best thing you can do is stay off the phone lines.
Also, Salvation Army.
Salvation Army
has been mobilized here, and so for the people going to the convention center, as Marty said, if that would be the place to, at this particular point, help. As far as the firefighters go, again, we'll address that at a later point here soon. But also, Diane Tripp said that one thing might be good at the convention center. If you have a power strip because of the cell phone charging.
There will be a lot of cell phones that will need to be charged, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
People are going to need to be making contact with relatives, saying they're okay. And that will definitely be an issue as far as that goes. The Type 1 team at this point, and I don't quite fully understand why they decided to do this, but the Type 1 team will be established in Eagle Nest at the middle school there in Eagle Nest. You know, of course, that's upwind from the fire rather than downwind, so that gives them a point. But you got to get through the canyon, and if you can't get through the canyon with logistics, that could be an issue for them. Of course, it's one of those things they'll just have to work out as they go along. bulldozers, blades that have been brought in by private individuals. Of course, we want to say thank you to those people for helping. The bulldozer lines, they're working under state coordination right now, trying to get those lines built, containment lines. However, from what I've been hearing, of course, it jumped that Highway 204, that dirt road that goes up to Poneal. If it's jumped that, its next obstacle going toward the north east will be the Valle Vidal Road. And once again, if it jumps that, then it's on the Vermejo Park Ranch and headed toward Raton. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, you know, we don't want to alarm anybody, but the winds are blowing this way.
Hence the extreme amount of smoke here in Raton.
Yeah. And our guarded optimism here, but Type 1 Incident Management Team is on the scene.
They will be this afternoon.
They will be this afternoon.
They're en route right now and should be getting set up at Eagle Nest this afternoon.
All right. Some valuable information. And again, thanks, Marty, for doing what you do.
I'll have a video. I did a little bit of video of what little flame we could see. They're not much. Most of it's all smoke. The smoke has just, it's gone everywhere. Mm-hmm. And because of the smoke, you really can't see anything, you know, unless you're kind of behind the fire, really. But I'll also have a video of the county commission meeting and what Tom V. Hill said himself so that people can watch that. We'll have that up here in a little bit.
All right. Looks like we're going to be in it for the long run here. So it could be a long haul for the Ute Park fire. Currently estimated 12,000 acres. Again, mandatory evacuations for Cimarron Ute Park and also for the Hummingbird community there. Again, they have evacuation centers set up at the Eagle Nest Senior Center and at the Raton Convention Center, too, also. So Colfax County Fairgrounds in Springer accepting large animals. Also, Raton Animal Shelter here in Raton for small animals, and at the Raton Rodeo Grounds, also the NRA Woodington Center is accepting some large animals.
And to kind of, you know, if people aren't really familiar with how Ute Park is set up, you've got the post office right there, right before you go up toward the upper part of the canyon. To the east of that runs Hummingbird Lane, which is what they're calling Hummingbird. A little further to the east of that is Cimarroncito, which is where the buildings that were burnt are located there on the far eastern side. New Mexico Forestry Division building, I understand, was not touched. The fire jumped the highway east of where their building is at, so they're in good shape. But it was more, you know, the way it sounded like everybody was talking, it was in Ute Park itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are we calling Ute Park the community, whole area there, or is that just part of that canyon? So, and that's kind of the way you've kind of got to look at it that way. Hummingbird Lane is most of the residences right there east of the post office, and then Cimarroncito is a little further east, so I guess they're calling Ute Park, the village of Ute Park, unincorporated area, right there by where the post office is.
Okay, and it's hopscotching around, or it was at least,
yes,
last night. So far, those buildings that have been consumed were uninhabited and were condemned anyway. So that's what we have right now, and we'll pray and keep our fingers crossed again that no other property is lost, and obviously that no lives are lost.
So far, we have been very lucky at that, and that nobody has been injured. There's been a lot of help. I know while I was still down there in Cimarron, there were a few calls for some of those folks who live down there that are elderly and needed help. That help was brought to them very quickly, in part thanks to the Colfax County Sheriff's Office and other volunteers. That will be one of the...
Yeah.
One of the things that they're continuing to do, Matthew Gonzalez, one of the town councilors down there at Cimarron, said they will be the last ones to leave Cimarron, that they are going to stick around as long as they possibly can to take care of things and make sure the town is taken care of and set up and ready, you know. Also, one of the things that was said, the state police said, we're not going to force anybody out. We are going to recommend you leave, but we're not going to forcibly remove you. But we're going to take your name and next of kin in case
something
the
happens.
Worst happens.
Okay. All right. That's in Cimarron. Also, I'm assuming the Shortgrass Music Festival concert tonight is going to be called off. They moved it to the United Methodist Church there in Cimarron, and that was supposed to happen tonight. So
nobody will be in town.
I don't think that that's going to happen tonight. As soon as they reschedule it, we will let you know. So that's pretty much a good synopsis of what's going on with the Ute Park fire. Again, it's a changing situation. I think at this particular point, as people just not directly involved, all we can do maybe is just pray.
Right.
And hope for rain and hope for the wind to subside.
And if you do, you know, if you do feel the need to help out, the best places to help out right now will be in Springer at the National Guard Armory, the fairgrounds, in Raton at the Raton Convention Center, and up at the Eagle Nest Senior Center and the places there in Eagle Nest that have opened. I believe we have learned that Angel Fire Resort has camping spaces at their RV park as well as the hotel there. They've got camping spaces in Springer. Of course, we've got camping spaces here in Raton in the area as well.
Right. And again, people and businesses being very, very generous. Now, is the armory open for evacuees in Springer?
Yes.
Okay. I jumped the gun on that and announced that last night or earlier this morning, and it was not.
No.
I got a call. So.
But it will be.
Okay.
It will be.
All right.
Because the plan at this point is that everybody in Cimarron evacuates to Raton. Everybody at Philmont will evacuate to Springer. That's the plan. How well that will work out remains to be seen.
Okay.
But that is the plan, is that everybody in Cimarron comes to Raton. Everybody at Philmont would go to Springer. And we
just got a word, a call, that from the office of the New Mexico National Guard, it is not at this point, open to evacuees.
Once again, Philmont is not under an evacuation order yet. Therefore, the place that they would go for evacuation, I could see why that would not be the case at this point in time.
Yeah, Springer Armory, National Guard Armory, is not open for evacuees at this point. So,
but that is where they want to send Philmont, should Philmont be evacuated. Okay. But Philmont's not under evacuation orders.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll just pray and cross our fingers and keep a tight hold here. Again, Type 1 Incident Management Team is expected to take over today sometime. A lot of resources in our area, and it's going to take a lot because that's a huge bit of country there.
And very rugged. One of the other things that Tom V. Hill mentioned, they did get a couple of drops from the huge air tanker, the jet air tanker, that flew over Raton during the track fire. They got a couple of drops from it yesterday afternoon, and that he says that's probably what saved the Ute Park prior, portion of Ute Park.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are amazing. Yeah,
they drop a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they saved quite a few around here for our track fire, that's for sure. Okay, well, that's going to be with us for a little while, that is for sure. And you're going to get some video and other pictures up on our website.
Yeah, there's not much in the way of pictures other than smoke. But
we've seen some pictures posted early where where the smoke was going up. Yeah. That was very impressive.
We've got New Mexico Game and Fish manning roadblocks, New Mexico State Police manning roadblocks. The Sheriff's Department was helping with Cimarron Police, Cimarron PD, to do the evacuations in Cimarron. Got a chance to talk to Clint Henson for a little bit. He drove up to the meeting in Ute Park. They had an incident command meeting in Ute Park this morning, and he says it's very eerie. He says mm-hmm. there were a lot of big pine trees that had burned, that if they get enough wind, they're going to go over. That's going to be an issue for New Mexico Highway Department as time goes along. But, you know, that's one of the other reasons that Highway 64 between Eagle Nest and Cimarron is closed, is in part because of the fire that is so close to the highway. And, you know, it wouldn't take much. A tree fall over and block your path. You couldn't get in or out, and would sure definitely be a mess.
A dangerous situation, indeed.
Most okay. definitely.
All right. Thanks for the update, Marty Mayfield.
Sure thing. We'll keep after it. We'll stay on top.
Okay. News time, 12:41. Let's hear, we have one meeting note, I think, Aaron, and then also our death notices and obituaries. We're still in local news, presented by International Bank.
The Des Moines Board of Education, they will meet in regular session on Wednesday, June 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. Time for our death notices and obituaries, a presentation during local news.
Joe N. Gonzalez passed away May 25th of 2018 at his home at the age of 88. Joe was born in Cuervo, New Mexico on March 14th, 1930, the child of Maclovio and Emilia G-